Welcome back. You're here on 770 CHQR, More Than Money. Just me today, flying solo, Dave Popowicz. And I've got Anna Stevens joining me today, Manager, Senior Social Support, Calgary Seniors Resource Society. Anna, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we appreciate your time. And, you know, the seniors population has perhaps been is the most vulnerable given our current crisis that we're dealing with, the health crisis. And so I think it's important that we talk a little bit about the kinds of programs and resources that are available for seniors as we go through this, but beyond this as well. I mean, this will come to an end at some point, and, you know, there's other challenges that seniors have as well. But I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, your group, the society, and what kind of programs and resources that you do offer.
Right. So we have a number of things that we offer through Calgary Seniors Resource Society, and COVID has shifted the way that we provide some of those services. But just sort of generally, we have a couple of teams, two teams of social workers, one that is more urgent response and specialized to deal with sort of more urgent social crises, and another social work team that's part of the Way In Network, which is a citywide collaboration, and they're providing longer term social work supports to seniors in Calgary. Mm-hmm. And then the team that I'm responsible for, our senior social supports team, we're providing a variety of programs that are delivered by community volunteers. So things like friendly visiting, where seniors are matched up with a volunteer who will come and visit them regularly, our escorted transportation program, where volunteers are providing rides to medical appointments for seniors. We have a number of different programs, including pet assist and phone friends and shopping companions. So really a myriad of services that we're providing through volunteers.
Yeah, and these are services that are broadly needed, you know, at any time. This has nothing to do with the COVID. But you did make the comment that you have changed things. Current, you know, certainly the COVID-19 issue is creating some very specific issues. Can you speak to some of the maybe the offering changes and anything specific to that that seniors could get, you know, programs that seniors could get help with right now?
Absolutely. So a COVID, like with I think everyone, right, has shaken it to the core. And so I think that we are finding that some adaptations are necessary. So we've moved to doing a lot of our services over the phone. And so, you know, for the most part, where we can, we've come up with a lot of creative ways to have volunteers providing support over the phone. So normally in our Phone Friends program, a volunteer would be matched with a senior and they would call them at a preset time, either daily or several times a week. And with COVID, we've moved a lot of our social support to over the phone. So we're putting out daily challenges like, you know, can you interview your senior about a historical moment that this is reminding them of? So maybe their wartime memories. We're doing lots of other little challenges over the phone, like can you, you know, do a lyric game where you challenge each other to guess the song based on the lyrics. So just trying to get creative with the ways in which we're supporting volunteers to build those relationships with their seniors during this period of isolation.
Yeah, and I think isolation is the key word. That's what I was thinking about. And just for full disclosure, and our regular listeners will know that I have a mother in a long-term care facility at Edmonton. Thankfully, mm-hmm. no issues with COVID at this particular point. But, you know, one of the things, Anna, that the decisions we had, when my father passed, originally my mother had come to live with me. And, right, we supported her through that period of time. And mom has dementia, which was getting progressively worse. And what we saw is that issue of social isolation creep in because, you know, I'd be at work all day and my wife would be at work and the kids are at school. And so she's there all alone. And that, you know, that was becoming a difficult situation. And so my brother and I and my mom decided collectively that it would be a better experience for her to be someplace where she could interact. Well, fast forward to today. And we've got an environment that, you know, she's back in a socially isolated position in the sense that they're on complete lockdown. They bring the food to her door. You know, they, I think she can go out on her balcony and there's one gal that she might be able to talk to at a distance. But, you know, it's a difficult environment. And so I think that your point about isolation is really key. One of the things, and depending on how long this goes, it's going to be absolutely critical to provide support and keep people engaged at a human level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can really echo your sentiments. My grandmother is in long-term care in Calgary, and she's in a facility that is impacted by COVID. And it's been that's been a really difficult thing for us personally. We've been window visiting her, so we are allowed into the yard, and we go to the window and talk to her on the phone so that she can see us. And it's been a really difficult thing for my family and for me. But we're hearing that from the clients that we serve as well. So I know one of my coworkers was sharing with me yesterday a story about a lady who whose husband passed away and then daughter shortly followed and has a loved one in long-term care in a COVID-affected facility. And it's those people that we really worry for that are so, not only are they worrying about someone else who's extremely isolated and or potentially at risk, but they themselves are then also cut off in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where we're trying to focus on bringing some of that positive back in. And so I think there's been a lot of negative in the media just generally people are feeling downtrodden. And I understand that. And I think what we're really trying to do through the services that we provide in our department is to bring some light back into the situation. So we're really focusing on encouraging people to be kind. And even if that means, you know, yes, we have a senior lens, but we're trying to encourage people to be kind generally, to have more tolerance, to think about others, to try to spread some cheer, whether that means dropping flowers off on somebody's porch or putting happy pictures up in your windows, which I'm sure you have children, so that's been happening in lots of houses. So, you know, really just trying to, Calgarians are amazing and they come together in a crisis. We've seen that time and time again. And I think this is no different. We're really seeing a surge. We put out a call for fast track volunteers to help us with meal, grocery, medication deliveries for seniors. And we've had over 750 inquiries in 5 weeks, and we've been able to bring on about 300 new volunteers to help us. So people want to do something about it. They are very kind naturally, and I think it's just really trying to continue that momentum. And as you said at the beginning of our conversation, I really hope to see that continue on beyond the end of COVID. It's not just during the outbreak that I think that's important, but I think that kindness, particularly towards seniors, is and that connection between humans is really important beyond the end of that period of time.
Well, yeah, thank you for saying that, because, you know, Betty Jo and I were talking about, you know, planning shows and a week ago or so, and we were talking about the fact that all the news is negative, and you correctly identified this. And so we wanted to look for stories that were positive. I mean, we're in a new reality for the time being, but we got to make the best of it. And I love this idea of volunteering, because one of the things that people have right now, they've got the gift of time, you know, and the question is now, how are you going to use that time? So if you can't go to work or you've been laid off and, you know, we're at home and we're isolating, what can we do to fill our time? Because it's not just about that, you know, that senior that's isolated. It's about staying engaged in a human way, no matter who you are. And I think that volunteering, that gift of time can be used partly to volunteer. And so I love to hear those numbers, you know, that 750. And let me ask you, if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, this is a cool idea that gets me to do something, do you have capacity for more?
Absolutely. We actually have need for more. What we saw initially was that I think a senior sort of hunkered down for the first few weeks. Everybody was caught off guard, I think, a bit. I certainly was. I was lying in bed at 10 o'clock at night when the email from the CBE came through telling me that school was no more.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So I think that people had this initial period, particularly our seniors that we serve, had this initial period of shock where they just hunkered down and kind of tried to get through without seeing anyone for a couple of weeks. But now what we're seeing is that period is gone. People are desperate to get supplies like groceries, medications. You know, some of our seniors have essential medical appointments that can't be postponed. Some of them are getting cancer treatments. That's stuff that still needs to be, still need support to be able to do. And so we do still have a need for volunteers. The best way for people to get involved is to go onto our website and go through our fast track volunteer application process. Yep. But I mean, I guess what I would say is that Volunteering, I think people sometimes have a bit of a mental block around volunteering because they think it's this big formal thing where you have to sign a bunch of papers and commit yourself to hours and hours a week. And it doesn't necessarily, I think we're really trying to encourage people to think about volunteerism differently and to think about grassroots, informal, like neighbor level volunteering. Volunteering could be moving the garbage bins for your elderly neighbor because right. that can be a prohibiting task for them. So we really want people to just think about all of the different ways that they can be involved in a healthy community and be volunteers without even necessarily seeing it as having to go through those formal channels. So picking up trash in your neighborhood or moving garbage bins for the senior next door or helping, you know, mow their lawn when you're mowing your lawn. Those are things that you may not see as volunteering, but that's still volunteering. It's just informal, organic volunteering.
I think you make a really good point. What's your website if people want to get a hold of you?
It's www.calgaryseniors.org.
Okay, that's terrific. Anna, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much. It was a piece of positive news and some good stories. I love to hear it. There's always need for help, and there's ways to get engaged. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Been joined by Anna Stevens, Manager, Senior Social Support at Calgary Seniors Resource Society. Okay, before we take a break, let me remind you that if whether or not volunteering, working full-time, or something in between is part of your future in retirement, we have to talk about how to put all those pieces together to keep you engaged and the highest quality of life that you can experience or lifestyle that you can experience. We're doing that not by a live seminar, but by a live webinar. It'll be our second one. This one's going to be on Tuesday, May 19th at 7 o'clock. Again, live online. To register for this, please go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk a little bit about how the markets might change this year. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.